Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast, sponsored by WebSpy. It's July 20th, 2009, and this is episode 200. It's been almost 4 years now since I started this podcast, and today marks the 200th episode. I almost can't believe it. Bear with me as I revel in this for a few minutes, but I want to talk just a little while today before we get into the main topic and look at some of the shots from a recent trip to the Oirasit mountain stream in Aomori. It's a place way up north in Japan. We're going to look at some photos from there today, but I just want to revel in this 200 episode thing for a while. In the 100th episode, I said that I had no intention of stopping, but believe me, getting to 200 episodes was a lot harder than getting to 100 episodes. And this is not about subject matter, things like that. It's really just about the overall amount of work that goes into this. People sometimes say that they don't know how I find time to do what I do, and to be honest, neither do I sometimes. It's not always obvious, as I keep the two things very separate, but I do still have a full-time non-photography related day job. Not only does that keep me very busy, but we also moved offices at the end of 2007. So I lost an extra hour or so a day with the longer commute, and it's sometimes been a struggle to make the time to prepare an episode each week and to get myself in front of the computer to record. I've done a few things to make life easier, and also, I've done a few things to make life harder as well, so I don't know if this is balancing out to zero, but, I'm now more active in social networking than I was before. I've got into Twitter and Flickr, although I don't comment much in Flickr, but because I just don't seem to be able to find the time, but at least I've started to get things uploaded over there. I never thought I'd really get the time to get into this sort of social networking, but I am, now that I'm kind of into the swing of things, it's not as bad as I thought, and I've even started blogging, and I'm releasing the show notes now via the blog as well as on the podcast page, and I'm trying to put out at least one other blog post a week so that it keeps people sort of at least seeing something coming up in their RSS stream. However they look, it's really sort of caught on, and I'm enjoying doing that. I actually received a great congratulations message from listener and community member David Peacham, based in Perth, Australia, and David kindly agreed to let me read his message out here. So here goes. David wrote, "Hi Martin. I just wanted to congratulate you on the fantastic achievement of reaching 200 podcasts. I'm sure it's been at times difficult to continue the schedule of one a week and maintain and improve on the quality of the podcasts over the months and years. I'd like to tell you how much I enjoy the podcast and look forward to each new episode, and to let you know how much I truly appreciate your efforts. Your work truly inspires me and many others, as evidence of the growth we can see in the forum, in your website, and the success of your workshops. The blog is a great new feature. I wish you every success in the future, and I will stay tuned to my favorite photographer. I'm working on a 5-year goal that I will be on the Martin Bailey Photography Workshop in 2014, so that I can thank you in person for the wonderful work that you do that has changed my life. Many congratulations, David Peacham." I'd like to also share a part of my reply to David as follows. It has been tough doing the podcast for 200 episodes, but I get a lot back from this as well. Not only does the very action of creating the podcast each week help to keep me in check and help to improve my own photography, it's a huge honor to influence people's lives and to inspire people in any way. Getting confirmation that I'm achieving that means so much to me. And from time to time, that's the end of my reply. From time to time, I receive wonderful messages like this, and I probably should read them out much more than I do. But I also want to say a huge thanks to David and each and every one of you that has written similar messages over the years. I really do appreciate it. Without all of you that make up the community that's built around this podcast, none of this would really mean anything at all, of course. So thanks to everyone that listens and has encouraged me to keep going over the last 4 years. While on the subject of thanks, I would like to say a huge thank you to our sponsors, WebSpy, the internet monitoring, analysis and reporting specialists. There are lots of costs involved in keeping this podcast going, so it really does help to have such a great company as WebSpy sponsoring us now. To find out more about WebSpy and their products, go to webspy.com/MBP and use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on all purchases. Now let's finally jump into the main topic and see some shots from Audacit. In episode 46, I discussed a number of images that I'd shot in a place called Audacit. And this is basically a mountain stream in the Aomori Prefecture at the top, the very top of the mainland Japan. That was way back in July 2006. I recently planned a trip back there because I wanted to take a copy of the book that I recently received from a company that I worked for on assignment last year. I wanted to take a copy of that to the old gentleman that had allowed me to photograph him for 2 days as he gathered urushi, which is basically the sap from his lacquer trees. This was, like I say, it was an assignment that I did for a book, and as the book was finally completed and arrived a few weeks ago, I decided to take the opportunity to go over to Aomori and hand him a copy personally. And then I drove on the next day for 30 miles or so to Audacit, which is, it's just a beautiful place. So I want to first, you know, start looking at some images. So we've got 8 images to look at today. And the first of those is image number 2298 that you can see on my online gallery at martinbaileyphotography.com. If you're listening to this podcast in iTunes or on an iPod or iPhone, you'll be able to see this image and the other images as we move through the podcast as we progress. If not, you can type the number that I call out into the podcast menu at my website, or look at the images on my blog or on the podcast's page. In this first image, you can see the main reason I had visited Audacit at this time. I actually realized after I'd planned that trip this year that I was going to be there on July the 10th, which is exactly the same day that I'd visited 3 years before. The time of year is no coincidence, though, as this is, it just has this beautiful fresh green that is at its best at this time. We have a rainy season in Japan for about 6 weeks from June to late July. And I try to get here right at the tail end of the rainy season with all of the new leaves on the trees and lots of water in the mountain stream. There had been a lot of rain in the days running up to my visit, and it was still raining on and off on my first afternoon here. I was going to be in the area for basically for 2 days, but I arrived on one afternoon, and then I spent a good sort of most of the day the next day in the area as well, but then also did some shooting on the nearby lake that we'll look at in a future podcast. But basically, you know, it's the rain that we see in most of these images that make these greens so, pardon the pun, saturated color-wise. A number of people have commented on the greens in my images, and to be honest, I'm not quite sure what makes them so special. But I will tell you a few things that I pay attention to here in the hope that it helps. The first thing is to try to photograph greenery like this when the foliage is wet. I also try to shoot when it's overcast. If it's still raining, that's usually not a problem. We'll look at another image later where the sun did come out for a little while. Even then, I waited for it to be at its weakest before releasing the shutter, but you can really see the difference. I usually select the daylight preset white balance, as I don't like the camera changing its mind every shot as the scene changes, or the light in the scene changes and also as the overall colours in the scene change, which does affect it. I don't select the cloudy preset because I don't want the scene falsely warmed up either. I don't do custom white balance either, as this tends to warm up the greens too much for my liking as well. As is often the case, I expose for the highlights, which means that I set my exposure for the highest it to be the highest that it can be without the highlights clipping. I adjust the exposure until I see the little flashing warnings on the LCD, or until any of the channels in the RGB histogram get too close to the right shoulder. If direct sunlight hits the water, the contrast gets too high, and I end up having to sort of shoot the greens, you know, make the greens darker to stop the water from blowing out. That also stops the greens from looking so lush. This particular shot was made with ISO 100 at f11 for 15 seconds. Of course, to get that slow shutter speed, I was using a 3-stop neutral density filter, an ND8, and it was actually pretty dark with it being overcast, so I could get down slow enough to make the water look nice and flowing, even without the neutral density filter, but as my tastes change, I find that I want the water looking more dreamy. I think I said a few years ago that you don't want to go too slow with water shots as it looks overdone, and now I actually prefer what I used to think is overdone, so it just goes to show how we change. Anyway, we have another 7 images to get through here, so I'm going to try to pick up the pace a little bit. Next up is image number 2303. This is the choshi otaki. Choshi is a small bottle, like a kind of decanter for Japanese sake, and it's said that these falls are like the flow of liquid from a bottle when it gets sort of knocked over. Otaki is used a lot for big waterfalls like this because it simply means big falls. These are beautiful falls again, with lots of mist thrown up from the water. Because of this, I continuously check the front element of my lens for droplets of water. I had to wipe it off a few times to make sure that I didn't get these little blurred spots on the image caused by droplets. You'll also notice that I sometimes have moving leaves in these long exposure shots. When possible, I try to wait for the leaves to stop moving for some shots, but sometimes, conversely, I wait for the wind to blow to get the most movement possible. I'm not worried about this as subject blur because I like the dreamy effect that the moving leaves creates, and this is a 5-second exposure at f14, by the way, again with ISO 100. So, you know, I'm capturing all of that nice movement. There's another one on the website that's very still as well. So you can maybe compare those later yourself if you're interested. There's a bridge just down from Big Falls, and it's a small bridge, from which I shot the image number 2304. You can actually see a white patch in the top left of this image, which is the big falls through the trees. This part of the river is pretty wide, so I made that my main subject and played on that a little bit. But I paid attention to the two logs in the river at the right side. I shot this at f11 for 20 seconds, so the water is very dreamy. But the two logs luckily stayed very still, so they're tack sharp. Another tip here, although a pretty obvious one, is that when shooting from small bridges like this, people walking on the bridge itself will usually cause enough vibration to make the camera shake. For long exposures like this from a bridge, not only do you want to make sure that you wait until no one is walking on the bridge, but also you have to stop very still yourself. Next up is image number 2307. Again, shot at f11 for 20 seconds, I've really played on the moving leaves for this dreamy effect. It might not be for everyone, but I personally really like this effect. I also shot this, pretty much the same scene, slightly different angle and focal length, because I shot it with my Lens Baby Composer, which made for an interesting image as well. But I'm going to save that shot for a later podcast, as well as some other shots that I've used the Composer for on this trip. We're going to take a look at just one later. I will put a link to the show notes all of the photos, all of the 26 images that I shot on these 2 days into the show notes if you want to have a sneak preview. So it's easy to get caught up in the trap of looking for similar shots in a location like this, especially when the main sort of what you would think of as the main subject is so spectacular. But I do try to still sort of look up into the canopy to see if there are interesting shots out there. And shot number 2308 is an example of what you'd miss otherwise. Here I noticed a tree that was split into two from the base and looked up to see if it was worth photographing. And I think it was. I was tempted to drop the 14mm wide-angle lens on the camera, but instead I went with the 24-70 f2.8 lens at 25mm. Had I gone wider, I'd have lost detail in those wonderful round leaves that we see on the right side of the frame, which I think add a lot here. Notice too that this is one of those times when I allow some highlights to blow out. I mentioned earlier I often usually exposed for the highlights, but this time this is one of those times where they can blow out and I don't worry too much about it. The histogram for this shot showed that there was a lot of overexposure in the image, but I ignored that, knowing that this it was the sky peeping through the canopy, which I was happy with. You have to be careful that the overexposure doesn't bleed into the detail of your subject too much, but just a little like this can actually add to the overall feel of the image, in my opinion. This was shot at f14 for 1 second, by the way. I went down to f14, as much as I could risk going, closing down to, just because I wanted to really get a lot of depth of field, right from the closest tree bark way up into the detailed leaves. I did wait for the leaves to stop blowing around here, apart from one small patch on the left. You need to look down from time to time as well, especially if you're into macro work, because there are details all around you, like the canopy, that you'll miss if you aren't looking for it. In image number 2309, you can see that I found a little mushroom growing out of a fallen tree's bark. So I set my tripod up at the edge of the wooden boardwalk that winds its way through the woods at the side of the mountain stream. This was shot at f4.5 for a sixth of a second, ISO 100. I stopped down to f4.5 to ensure that I got most of the mushroom in focus, but I didn't want to go any deeper. I didn't want a deeper depth of field because I wanted to throw those green lines of moss in the background there out of focus. And I also like to see, especially in macro work, I like to see that cross section of sharpness. You've got the sharp log there showing through and showing how much DOF we were actually working with. It just sort of adds that dreamy look, I think, to the overall image. And, most of you know that that's the sort of look that I really like. I actually shot the next image, number 2311, with the Lens Baby Composer, but I'm not going to talk about the Composer today, as again, I'm saving that for a future episode. I did want to mention, though, that there are waterfalls all through the valley, some of which are large and grandiose, like the Choshi Ōtaki Falls that we looked at earlier, but others are much smaller, like these Kudan Falls, and Kudan basically means nine steps. Like stairs, which we you can see those in the rocks, the rock formation behind the falls themselves. I will say that I didn't think that there was a shot here. I'm using it today to illustrate that there are falls. There's big and small falls throughout the valley. But I will just say about the Composer, I thought that there was no shot here, and if I'd have gone straight, just with a straight lens, I'm pretty certain it would have been boring. There's all of that rubble and stuff in there and litter in the middle of the falls as well. I should say clutter, not litter. The Lens Baby composer, though, helped me to make an image that I quite like, adding that nice soft outer ring of bokeh. Finally, image number 2315 is the shot that I'd mentioned earlier where the sun had come out a little bit. I had to wait for a while for the sun to get a little weaker, but this is about as weak as it got for a while. The second day was overcast with sunny spells, although it had rained on the first day, which was great. But, you know, the sun was out for longer spells as we got it towards the afternoon on the second day. You know, the other shots that I got here while I waited for the sun to sort of go back in, you know, back behind the clouds, were way too bright. A lot of the water is way too bright, but, you know, what that means is that trees, because I have to expose for the water, the trees just get really dark trying to expose for the highlights in the water. The result here is that in this shot, I mean, this, like I say, this is one where the sun had gone in as much as it was going to do for a while. And the result here is that we have some shadows from the trees on the water, which is quite nice. And the water itself looks a little bit more golden coloured than the other images. Also, the trees have lots more sort of shades of green. So I quite like this as well. You can see that the trees are sort of filtering the sunlight as it drops down through the canopy. It works pretty well. By the way, it was the Three Little Islands that drew me to this shot. But I noticed that little sort of small island in the foreground. And so I'd placed that was sort of, for me, I put that on the bottom third intersection and composed the rest of the shot around that. I also like the way that the thicker tree on the right in the background there runs up through the right third line from the rightmost island there. And again, you know, there's a little static log sticking out of the water in the front right, you know, on that right side of right island there, which along with a few other rocks and things sticking out of the water make some nice anchor points in that flowing water. So it's a nice balanced shot overall, I think. The placement of objects like this that we can't control, you know, in obviously they're natural objects, you know, we can't control the position of them, but it's sort of governed by the, you know, where we stand, that, you know, the placement of these objects is governed where we stand, and of course how much of the scene we include depends on the focal length of the lens that we select or that we zoom to if you're using a zoom lens. You'll notice that some of the shots today are from higher vantage points than others. Here there was a footpath that I can get down to, but I chose for this shot to shoot the image from the side of the road. And, you know, the images sort of directly before this in the gallery were of pretty much the same scene, but shot from further down the river. And I jumped down not only to the footpath, but I'd jumped out onto some rocks, and I'd got one of each of my three tripod feet on three rocks in the river at sort of a really weird angle. My main point here is that it's important to explore the various angles and vantage points and the focal length to sort of edit in or out the things that we think make the images what they are, and really to sort of work the location and don't just sort of shoot everything from an obvious location. Don't forget to look up and down as well for those added scenes that you might not come across. They might not be too obvious without really looking for them, like the tree canopy and the mushrooms. So I hope you enjoyed the 200th episode of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast and visiting me on my two-day trip exploring the Oyudase mountain stream area as well. I'm actually seriously considering doing a workshop here in Oyudase in July 2010 that may well be coupled with a trip across the sea to the summer Hokkaido for a workshop there as well. I've been asked about the summer Hokkaido workshop a number of times in the past, so hopefully some people will be interested. And if you might be interested in a trip to Oirase and also maybe a trip to Hokkaido in the summer, please drop me a line at workshops@martinbaileyphotography.com and let me know. There's no obligation, of course, at this point. I'm just trying to sort of gauge interest at this stage. Note too that the Snow Monkey and Hokkaido workshops in 2010 are currently two-thirds full. If you're thinking of joining us, there are four places left, so you might want to finalise any plans that you are, that, you know, if something's preventing you from signing up, you might want to sort of try and finalise those plans sooner rather than later to avoid disappointment. Once again, I want to say a quick thank you to our sponsors, WebSpy. To find out more about WebSpy products, visit webspy.com/MBP. Use the discount code MBPWSY for a 10% discount on all purchases. I'll see you in the forums or on Twitter, etc. throughout the rest of the week, and we'll be back with another Martin Bailey Photography Podcast next week. In the meantime, though, you just have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye. The Martin Bailey Photography Podcast is a proud member of the Photocast Network. Find this and other great photography podcasts at photocastnetwork.com.